Calvary, their service starts at 10 o'clock, just like ours does. But I think theirs gets over closer to noon. So we want to make sure that they are here with us before we go ahead and start our lunch today. So that's why we're going to meet back in here. I don't think we'll be in here very long, but that'll give us a chance to pray together. And then we'll all head into the gym after that. We have it as warm as we can get it for the time being. The furnace in there went down a couple weeks ago. We're hoping to have it back up before the Happy Birthday Jesus party in a couple weeks. But for the time being, we've got space heaters going. We've got the window open to the kitchen because that's on a different furnace, and we've got the maintenance room door open because that's on a different furnace. So we're doing the best that we can to get some radiant heat in there. So it is what it is, right? So we want to welcome all of our visitors that we have with us today. Count it all joy. That's right. Count it all joy. Visitors, thank you for being here today. If you'd like to stay for the Thanksgiving dinner, you're more than welcome to. We do have Sunday school between service and that dinner, though. So if you're interested in going to a Sunday school class, just talk to Pastor Andy or myself. Or there's not really a whole lot of people wearing these today, is there? Okay, we need to start wearing these again. If you know what's going on, make sure you're wearing these. And we'll get you to a Sunday school class. I do want to pray for a few people. We are very thankful that Bruce Pinnell's back with us today. Praise God. And Becky Riggenbach as well. And I don't know if you saw on Facebook this morning, but Doug Hawley put a prayer request. His brother-in-law fell yesterday and cracked his skull. So he's in Memorial Hospital right now, so we want to pray for him. We've got some other prayer requests. Yeah, Bob? Okay, so that's kind of going around. We want to pray for Sharon. And I know Brielle Berberick is feeling under the weather today. And she has a play that she is a part of this afternoon. So we want to lift up all of those who are under the weather. You got one, Marilyn? If you didn't hear that, Marilyn said she's having a knee replacement surgery on December 7th. And is Rick Blake here? Rick is also having a knee replacement. You guys are going to be knee replacement buddies on the 17th. So we got a lot to pray about. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of the trials, you are there. We thank you that you have everything under control. We want to lift up those that are not feeling the best, whether it is flu or whether it is a knee replacement or whatever it might be, Lord. You know way better than we do what's going on, and you are the great physician, so we trust you that you're going to work everything together for good like you always do, Lord. We pray with confidence that you're already working things out, Lord, and out of all of these different situations, we'll be able to lift praise to you, Lord. I pray that you would help us with our mindset, Lord. A lot of the things that we go through, we focus on the circumstances and not on the one that can change our circumstances. So, Lord, help us to change our vision, Lord. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, Lord. We're very thankful for Bruce and Becky and their return to us, Lord. We pray that you would continue to walk them through their healing process, Father. We pray for Doug's brother-in-law today, Lord. Heal him in that situation as well. And I pray that you might provide Doug an opportunity to speak to him about you and about what a good God you are, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word that we will get into now, Lord. We pray that you would just use it to change our hearts to conform into the image of Jesus Christ, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You know, actually, I do have one more prayer request. I should have lifted this up as well. This is for our family. You know, we've been talking for a while about how God blessed Betsy with a new job back in July. And many of you might not know this, but one of the reasons that Betsy went out and found a new job is because our family hasn't really had insurance for the last couple of years. We tried a couple different things. First, we tried the Obamacare plan, but we found out that we were paying a whole bunch of money and not really getting any services. And then we switched from that and we went to what's called Christian MediShare. Some of you might be familiar with MediShare. Some of you might even have it. We found that we were, again, paying premiums, but our deductible was like $13,000. So in order for us to even start getting help, we had to pay the $13,000 first. And that was not a good situation either. And then last year, our financial advisor said, why don't you just set up an HSA? His thought was that if you're already paying all of your doctor bills out of pocket anyway, you might as well not pay the monthly premium along with it. You know? Wow, that's a great idea. So last year we spent all year on an HSA plan, and we just paid money into our HSA and then paid our medical bills out of the HSA. And this year we made a decision, and I'm very thankful. She's looking at me like, you made a decision. Well, she was willing to take a job, and in order for her job to provide healthcare for our family. And a lot of people don't know that when the Affordable Care Act went into effect a few years ago, it made it very difficult for churches, especially small churches, to provide insurance for their pastors. Now, if you're part of a big denomination, like I was talking to some pastor friends from the Salvation Army this week, and the Salvation Army actually pays their health insurance. So praise God that they have that scenario. But for a lot of small churches, that's not the situation. In fact, both Pastor Andy and I have wives that willingly work outside the home in order to allow us to pastor. And so incredibly thankful for Pam and what she's willing to do in order for Pastor Andy to be able to pastor, and thankful for Betsy that she's willing to work outside the home in order to provide health insurance for us as well. Now, when Betsy first took this job, she got hired as a teacher in the child care center. But she chose that position because that particular child care center offered tuition reimbursement. And the idea was she wanted to take the position as a teacher in order to eventually take some classes and be able to become a center director. Okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. God works all things together, right? So 6 weeks after she takes the teaching position, her center director up and moves to Illinois because her husband got a new job, and the center director position comes open. And guess what? In Indiana, they have different rules about who can be a center director than they have in Michigan. So the education that she already had, she qualified for this center director position. And she interviewed, and she got hired. And she had no idea what she was walking into. And so we would continuously ask you to pray for our family. A lot of days she's working 12 or more hour days And so we just need God to sustain her through all of that. If you know anybody who would make a good teacher in a child care center, she may be hiring. But we praise God that he provided in that way. And yet, through all of that, there's difficulties to it. It's not okay, we're in the will of God, and so that means everything will be peaches and cream from here on out. How many of you have ever been in the will of God and life was not necessarily peaches and cream? You know, I don't even know what's going on over there. I'm going to leave it alone. I think that all of us, or at least the vast majority of us, we want to be in the will of God, right? And so if we want to be in the will of God, wouldn't it be nice if God told us what his will is? Wouldn't that be nice? We should write it on the wall. That's a great idea. You know what? There's a few spots, especially in the New Testament, where God tells us what his will is. Like, for example, this verse right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It ends with, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Oh, man. That first part of that verse must be really important then, right? For this is the will of God. I really want to know what that first part says. Well, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. I think we do a pretty good job thanking God when things are going well. We may not necessarily thank God all the time when things are not going well. I think maybe we're more focused on him when things are not going well. And yet, maybe we question him more when things are not going well. I want to make this statement. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily for you to question God. He's a big God. He can handle it. It's as though you are his child, right? And you bring a question to your father. Only his character is perfect. So I, as a father, may not necessarily always react perfectly when my children bring me a question. Is that right? Is that the truth? I should have got some amens there, I think, two in particular. I, as a fallible father, I don't always necessarily make the right decision. And even when I do make the right decision, sometimes it's not a decision that my children are necessarily happy with. But I'm fallible. And the Heavenly Father is not. And he makes decisions, and sometimes his children are still not happy with it. Right? And yet he is perfect. And the decisions that he makes are right. So how do we deal with the idea that God makes perfect decisions and yet sometimes I don't like what they are? Well, the Apostle Paul says that our responsibility is to give thanks in all circumstances. This morning, we're starting a brand new series. This series is called Holiday Blessings. No, I'm not taking Christ out of Christmas. We're just starting with a Thanksgiving message and going through Christmas with these messages. And we're going to talk about being grateful first, and then peace, love, joy, and hope over the course of the next 4 weeks. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think we all need a little bit more of all of those things. So this morning's message is called An Attitude of Gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. And we're just covering one verse today. So let's talk about this first phrase in this verse. It says, give thanks. Now, at Thanksgiving, we know that that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to give thanks to God for everything that he's done, right? But what about the rest of the year? How well do we do at giving thanks the rest of the year? Anybody? Anybody want to say, I don't do the best job necessarily giving thanks? Anybody that honest? I don't necessarily give thanks the way that I should throughout the rest of the year. I heard one person say great, and praise God for that. Praise God for Tim. Praise God for his humility. No, I'm just kidding. No, but what if all year long we were thankful to God for what he does, what he gives, what he provides, even when we're not necessarily happy with what he provides, even when we're not necessarily comfortable with what he provides? What if we still praised him in the midst of it? How would our lives change if we just changed our attitudes? This word, Thanksgiving, how many of you grew up in the Catholic Church? I did. A lot of you did. You're going to be familiar with this word, I think. The Greek word for give thanks is the word Eucharistio. Eucharistio, which those former Catholics sounds a lot like. It sounds a lot like Eucharist. And Eucharist was our celebration of communion in the Catholic Church. It was our time where we celebrated the transubstantiation, where the bread turned into the body of Christ and where the wine turned into the blood of Christ. Now, how many of you thought that that's what the word Eucharist meant? I did. I thought that that's what the word Eucharist meant. The word Eucharist doesn't mean that. It actually means give thanks. So when as Catholics, we would walk up and take communion, it was actually a service of giving thanks. I wish I had known that when I was Catholic. I know it now. The word, if you break down the word, this part you right here, it's a compound word. The part you means good. Like some of you are familiar with the word eugenics. It's taking the good genes. You means good. And then the second part, charis, a lot of you are familiar with that, is the word grace when you boil it all down. Okay? So when we give thanks, we're actually giving good grace. Good grace. Or good forgiveness to one another. How many of you think that maybe we could afford to give each other just a little bit more grace? I would like a little bit more grace. I would appreciate it. There are circumstances that are difficult, and what did Jesus say? He said, "Forgive others as you have been forgiven," right? You know what? Not only would I appreciate receiving that good grace, I need to do a better job giving that good grace too. I need to do a better job giving it. Now, up on the screen here, you see the Peanuts characters. There's a reason for that. My wife is a huge Charlie Brown fan, especially the Thanksgiving episode and the Christmas episode. She loves it. And what I'm doing this morning, plug ears. What I'm doing this morning, I'm just kidding, you don't have to. I'm trying to give her a little bit of comfort with something that's familiar to her, because, you know, I talked about her taking this new job that she's taking. This coming week, she's having her wisdom teeth out on Wednesday. And Thursday's Thanksgiving. And you know what she's been saying this whole time? She's been saying, I have to have them out on Wednesday because I don't know when I'm going to get another period of time off. She's excited about the fact that she has 5 days in a row off. She's got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So she's excited about that, right? I'd be excited too if I wasn't having my wisdom teeth out. But she is, and so... So I'm using the Peanuts characters to try to provide a little bit of comfort for her. The next picture is one of my favorite Peanuts pictures of all time. It's the pic. How many of you are familiar with this? Right. This is the picture where Lucy always lines up the ball for Charlie Brown to run up and kick it, right? And inevitably, right before he kicks the ball, she rips it away and he goes flying, right? Circumstances. Sometimes they happen to us. And sometimes we put ourselves in them. And yet, in spite of that, what the Apostle Paul said was, in all circumstances, all of them, every circumstance that you encounter, you're supposed to give thanks. You're supposed to give thanks. Now, this little word in, that's a trouble word. You know why that's a trouble word? Because that means that, essentially, either you're in the middle of the storm right now, you just finished one, or there's one on its way. And I know that's a tough way to look at life, but that's essentially what it is, right? Either you're in the middle of the storm, you just finished one, or there's one on the way. And what the Apostle Paul says here is he doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances, right? He says, give thanks in it. In it. In the middle of whatever you're dealing with, you're supposed to have an attitude that praises God. Now, I know Tim Baylor already told us that he does that perfectly. Amen. Praise God. I don't do that so great. I don't do that so great. You know, I've been carrying around this football the whole message. Some of you are annoyed by that. You know what? Give thanks for it. Give thanks for it. There is a purpose to it. Back when I was in elementary school, we used to play flag football on the playground all the time. And believe it or not, you wouldn't believe it by looking at me now, but I was one of the fastest kids on the playground. What are you laughing at? I was one of the fastest kids on the playground. What's that? And so the kids wanted me on the team because not only was I fast, but I could catch the ball. So in elementary school, man, I was the stuff when it came to flag football. And then eventually they told us that we couldn't play flag football anymore because it was a Catholic school and we weren't necessarily just grabbing each other's flags. We were sort of tackling each other, maybe on the parking lot. And they told us we couldn't do that anymore. So I had to stop playing football. And then I got to high school and I went to a brand new high school. Ninth grade was a brand new school for me. And we had gym class. It was a required class. And one day we had football as our class. And you know what? By then, not only could I throw the ball a long way, but I was still really fast. So if someone else had the ball, they could just launch it, and I'd get under it and be there to catch it. And so the players that actually played football, because this was just gym class, they said, we want you to come join the team. And I said, I have no idea what I'm doing, but sure, that sounds great. I'll do that. So 10th grade, I played football for the first time, like real football, pads and tackling and all that stuff. And I had no idea what I was doing. None. Like, they gave you this playbook, and I looked at it and went, so you want me to go where and do what now? And then, like, a couple weeks in, I'm 165 pounds, okay? And they put me on the defensive line. So 165-pound me, I'm supposed to go up against these 250-pound Goliaths every play. And somehow I'm supposed to either get to the quarterback or tackle the running back as he goes past me. I can't even see the guys. I'm standing there going, I know there's a play, but I have no idea what's going on. The only reason that I knew which way the play was even going was because I was getting shoved the other way. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I've actually learned a lot about football since being on the football team. Not while I was on the football team. Not when I was in the midst of it. After football, my senior year, I developed this heart problem. It was called supraventricular tachycardia, which is a fancy word that just means, for no reason at all, my heart started beating too fast. And so the last five or so games of the season, I wasn't able to play. And so my football career ended mercifully a few weeks early. You know, I've actually learned a lot about football since then. I know, for the most part, what players are actually supposed to do, which I had no clue in high school. I had no clue. Some of you may have seen a picture somewhat like this. And how many of you look at this and say, I know what that is? All right, good. How many of you look at it and go, there's a bunch of circles up there? Good. You guys got it too. Good. One thing that's been pretty important to me over the last, 15 years or so is football movies. I don't play football anymore, so football movies have been important to me. I've seen all kinds of them. Some of my favorite movies are like Remember the Titans, which I just borrowed from Pastor Andy, and it's sitting there. I really want to watch it really bad, and I haven't watched it in a long time. Another one is The Blind Side. How many of you are familiar with the movie The Blind Side? You remember The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock? You remember at the beginning of the movie, they say the highest paid player on the team is the who? Quarterback. The highest paid player on the team is the quarterback. The second, they say, I don't know if this is true, they say the second highest paid player on the team is who? The left tackle. That would be this person right here. Okay. Now, in a perfect scenario, that person never touches the football. And so why is this person right here, if they never score a touchdown, they never catch a pass, they never run with the ball, why is that person the second highest paid player on the team? Because this person right here protects the quarterback. So essentially, here's what it looks like, okay? I'm the quarterback. I'm about to take the ball from the center, right? I drop back to pass, right? And my blind side is wide open because I can't see what's going on back there. I have to trust that the offensive tackle is doing his job, preventing these 250, 300-pound beasts from getting to me, right? I think we need those people in our lives. I think we need those people that are going to protect our blind sides in our lives. Because circumstances can be very tough sometimes. And we can't always control what circumstances are going to happen to us, but we can control how we react to those circumstances. But it's always good to have somebody in your life that's going to protect your blind side, somebody that you can trust in order to make sure that you're not going to get destroyed by something that you didn't see coming. Okay, now pause on that. And I want to tell you about another movie that I love. Okay, it's called We Are Marshall. How many of you have seen We Are Marshall? You remember the Marshall football team? The entire football team dies in a plane crash. That's not why I love the movie. They get special permission from the NCAA to put together a team made mostly up of freshmen, because at that time freshmen couldn't play college football. You had to be sophomore or junior, I'm not sure. But they got special permission, and there's a scene where the school is about to shut down the football team, and one of the players who was on the previous team but didn't get to go on the plane that crashed, he believes that they need to come together, the school needs to come together. And he walks into this room where they're having this big board meeting where they're about to dissolve the football team. And he stands by the window and he says, "I think you need to see this." And he raises his fist, and outside are all of the students of the whole school and many, many people from the town. And they all start shouting, "We are Marshall. We are Marshall." And they decide to keep the football team. Now, I promise I'm going to bring this all back together. You're like, what the heck are we here for? I'm going to bring it back together, but I got to show you one video clip before we do that. And this is from a movie that many of you may not have seen. It's called Facing the Giants. It's another football movie, but this one is a Christian genre one, and they don't get seen as widely as some of the other ones do. This particular clip, this one has to do with having the right attitude through circumstances. Go ahead.
I want to know if you'll join me.
Your attitude's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, means your heart's not right.
You sure is preaching today.
Mm-hmm. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Oh. All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it, move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does
it. There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your
arm.
You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
Let's go to the 50. Let's go to the 50. Oh,
how many more? Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
You know what? We need people in our lives that are going to push us even through the toughest circumstances to keep going until we reach that end zone. But when I was at Word of Life, you know, I told you about how I my senior year of high school, I couldn't play the last few games. Well, that tachycardia went away, and when I went to Word of Life, we had we didn't have football team at Word of Life, but we had intramural flag football, which was actually a lot more fun than a regular football team. And we had practices, and I still remember this day vividly. We were having a practice, and there were two guys that we're at Word of Life Bible Institute, and they get in a fight out on the practice field of a flag football team, right? And I separate them with a couple of other guys, and I make this statement to them. I said, "You guys are not glorifying God right now with your attitude." And one of them looked at me and he said, "You can't glorify God playing football." And I responded to him, "If you can't glorify God playing football, then you shouldn't be playing it." right? If you can't glorify God no matter what you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it. If God looked at what you were doing and he said, you shouldn't be doing that, then we shouldn't be doing it. In fact, Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I threw this one in here. What if today we were just thankful for everything we had? Now, I want to wrap it all back up, and I want to bring those movies back in, and I want to talk about it in a church context, okay? Because there's many passages in the Scripture that talk about the body of Christ, right? And the unity that we need to have as a body. I think gratitude has a lot to do with how unified the body can be. If the body's not unified, we're probably not as grateful as we ought to be. So let me bring this picture in here. Now, I modified it. I modified the former picture a little bit. Okay? So the offensive team here, this is us. This is the church, okay? And one thing that all of those movies had in common was they taught that a team has to be unified. And if the team's not unified, it will never be successful. Okay? Now, here's a couple things about our team here, all right? Number one, the owner of the team is God. Okay? And this is an illustration. It's not perfect. It breaks down. I already know that. Give me some grace. I already asked for that. The owner of the team is God. The general manager of the team, the one that picks the players, that's Jesus. He told us that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Okay? So Jesus is the general manager. The Holy Spirit is the head coach. He's the one that calls the plays into the field. Okay? He's the one that motivates us to fulfill God's will. Okay? Now, I know some of you are not going to like this part, but in this particular illustration, I'm the quarterback. Okay? I'm the quarterback. And what I'm holding right here, you think this is a football. But in reality, what this is our gospel witness. Okay? As the lead pastor, I'm holding our gospel witness. Okay? And what I want to do is I want to get this as far downfield as I can so that we can storm the gates of hell, essentially. We want to further the kingdom of God. So we want to get the gospel out and down and score Jesus touchdowns. Touchdown Jesus, right? So who do you think these guys all circled in yellow? Who is that? It's the offensive line. In the church, who is that? That's our elders and deacons right there. That's our elders and deacons right there. So these guys over here on my blind side, who would you say that those are? Those are the elders. Those are the elders. They protect the pastor from circumstances, right? The other side of the line, those are the deacons right there. Now, let me ask you this, okay? If the elders decided that they didn't have my back anymore, how many plays do you think I'd make it for from that point on? Probably not very many, right? And the same thing with the deacons, right? If they're letting defenders through the line, we're probably not going to get the gospel message down the field the way that we should, right? And what does a good quarterback always do after they score a touchdown? Does he thank the guy who did it? He thanks the line. And if a line does not feel respected, it's the fault of the quarterback. It's the fault of the quarterback. Because there's no way to get the gospel message down the field without the elders and the deacons doing their job together. Okay, now, if the ball is, let's say, see this guy on the, that's WR, that stands for wide receiver. And those of you that know football, you know that this right here, what is that called? That's called a go route, right? The quarterback tells the wide receiver they're going to go in a go route. And the idea is that if that wide receiver is open, the quarterback's going to bomb it down the field, and they're going to get yards far, far down the field. Who'd you say they are? Yeah, I'd say that's the missions committee. Not just the missions deacon, but the missions committee as well. Okay? Why? Because the scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? So we want our gospel witness to go way down the field. Now, this other wide receiver over on this end, let's say that wide receiver is Community Connect. When we talk about Community Connect, we're talking about things like Vacation Bible School, and we're talking about Christmas shoe boxes. We're talking about Angel Tree, those types of things. Getting the gospel down the field. Okay, what about when we talk about the associate pastor? Notice this right here, okay? The associate pastor has a light yellow halo around him. Why'd I put a light yellow halo around him? This is no offense to you, okay? Why has he got a light yellow halo? This position is called the tight end. It's an interesting position. It's a member of the line, but he can also... Oh, you got it. Sometimes he blocks, and sometimes he goes downfield for a pass. And here's the thing. In order for us to get the gospel witness down the field, everybody's got to do their part the best that they can. And if the quarterback's not living up to his part, the rest of the team's not going to either. And if the Andy, now I am going to pick on you, okay? If I tell the tight end that he needs to go up and out, okay, notice every single one of these plays, it's an arrow. The arrow means that every play we run, we're expecting touchdowns. Even if it's fourth and one, and we're going to run a dive play where the running back runs straight up the middle, we're expecting that he's going to take it to the house. We're expecting a touchdown. Even if it's fourth and one, he's going to run until the whistle blows, and we're expecting a touchdown. Okay? So I got Pastor Andy running this, and then he runs out, and then he's going to catch the ball somewhere in here, and I'm expecting him to take it to the house. It's going to be a touchdown. What if Pastor Andy decides that when the ball gets snapped, he's going to be a ballerina? How well do you think the rest of the team is now? On the bright side, all these guys are going to be going, what the heck is he doing? How well is the team going to go towards scoring a touchdown? Probably not very well. Every person on the team has to do their part. It's part of being the body of Christ. It's why in that movie, We Are Marshall, they came together and they had each other's back and they said, we are Marshall. In the same way, we as a church, we ought to be saying, we are community. We are community. We are united in getting the gospel message not only to our community, but also to the ends of the earth. And it doesn't matter what circumstances we go through. Whatever circumstances we go through, you know what? Every once in a while, the quarterback's going to throw an interception. Especially if he's on Michigan State. Sorry, Jeff. I'm a Michigan State fan, too. I can say that. What? And when he does, you know what he has to do? The quarterback has to say, that was me. That was my fault. And you know what is even worse? Every once in a while, the quarterback is going to throw a pass, and he's going to leave his receiver hanging there, and the receiver's going to catch the ball, and then he's going to get smashed by a defender. And you know what? In that situation, the quarterback needs to own up to it too. And we all need to be responsible. And if I as the quarterback do something and I knowingly harm somebody else on the team, guess what it's my responsibility to do? Matthew chapter 18 says, if someone has sinned against you, you go to them and point out their sin. Matthew 5 says, if you've sinned against someone else, you go to them. So whoever it is, the offender or the offended, Jesus puts both of them responsible to get it fixed. Because unity within the body is more important than we could ever imagine. So, there's one more part to this illustration. How many of you have been watching a football game and you ever saw somebody go like this? You know what this is? I heard it over here. Tom, was that you? Yeah. It was, I need out. I need a break. I need somebody to come in and fill my spot, okay? You know, a few weeks ago, we were in here, and I broke down in tears, crying for all of the things that you all were going through. You were taking hits. I was taking hits, too. I felt your pain. And the reason is because simply, the simple fact of it is, I love all of you so much that when you're hurting, I'm hurting. And I believe that when you're hurting, God is hurting for you too. And I got to a point last week where we weren't here because I went like this. I just needed a break. And praise God that we have men in our congregation that at a moment's notice can fill in. And that's what Dan Puckett did for us last week. I got to a point where I just needed a breather. And guess what? We're back. And we're ready. And we're moving forward. And we're taking this ball and we're taking it down the field. And this gospel is going to continue to go out into our community and out into the world regardless of circumstances. Regardless of what they throw at us. We might need to tap out every once in a while and bring somebody else in. We're going to keep moving forward for God's honor and His glory. In all circumstances, in them. In whatever circumstance it is, in it, give thanks. It's my challenge to you this week. Whether you're having your wisdom teeth removed or you're visiting family that you don't necessarily get along with the greatest, whatever circumstance it is, this week give thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord. Thank you that we can worship you as a family, Lord. Thank you that you pick us up when we get hit. Thank you that there are others that we can lean on for support. Lord, thank you that we have one goal in this church, and that's making disciples of Jesus Christ by getting your gospel out into our community and the world. I pray that you would help us to focus not on the circumstances that we're in, but the goal, bringing you the praise and glory that you deserve. And we will celebrate you until we see the victory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to